Hello and welcome to the Pocket PC Geeks podcast. I'm Leos from PocketPCGeeks.com, and this is one of our first shows basically to discuss everything in the mobile world, from Windows Mobile to the Android to the iPhone. With us today we have Hibby from PocketPCGeeks.com. We have Juggalo X from as well PocketPCGeeks.com.
Hey, how's it going?
We have Morty T, one of our fellow newsies from PocketPCGeeks.com.
How's it going, guys?
And we have our special guest tonight, Mighty Mike, creator of the Mighty ROM series with more than 10,000 downloads in its series.
Hello, hello.
And that basically makes up our table for tonight. All right, well, let's begin then. First thing off, it happened a while ago. It feels like forever now. It's actually the end of October. The hard SPL for the Touch Pro 2 was released. It came after how many weeks of it? Was it of rumors just coming up and coming up?
I would say probably 2 months.
Rumors.
Yeah, it was a little while there. Things were getting a little bit hairy on the forums for sure.
A little hairy, yeah.
Yeah, the mods were getting like 10 emails a day.
Ten emails a day. I think your inbox was filtering some of those heavy. Mine was a spam box during that period.
Not to mention, we didn't look very good. I mean, people on the Elite Team IRC page and AXDA didn't look very good at us. They thought we looked like a bunch of hooligans.
Yeah, well, I don't know. How do you define that and how do you describe it? You were screwed if you did something about it and you screwed if you didn't.
Yeah, because, I understand what you mean, how there was mods, many of the mods were trying to organize everything up. We tried to keep the forums in order. People just kept screaming and complaining and
We had tons of discussions trying to decide what to do, but like we couldn't even come up with a course of action because everything that we did just backfired.
from my perspective, I mean, I think it actually went. It could have gone worse. It could have been where everybody just kept spamming and spamming and spamming, but the threads got locked, and eventually, come the last week of October, everyone just shut up and waited. And then the HSBL came out. I mean, Simonix and OliPro and the Elite Team did such a great job, and it's finally out. And fun little fact: after when I installed my HSBL, I didn't even know how to get into the actual SPL mode because I forgot that the Verizon version you have to use the red button.
Yeah, that definitely makes it fun for the dual device.
You ever tried to do that? You have to pull it out. You have to actually keep it on your knee just to get it actually in the SPL mode. It's kind of annoying.
I don't understand why HTC expects everybody to have little tiny girly hands that can touch all these buttons and a third hand to hit the last button. Or you use your mouth with the stylus or something.
You know, I do find it actually better than the Touch Pro or the Diamond.
Oh, the Diamond was a massacre.
Actually, in reality, HSC are actually octopuses, so they expect you to use all 8 of their hands. So I can't blame them.
Hey,
I don't know what.
if
I honestly, like, what do they. What were they thinking? I was talking in IRC with a bunch of people, and I said, you know, I'm going to get my hands on their blueprints. I'm going to draw a red button down by the 3.5 millimeter jack, write reset goes here in big red marker, and smack them in the head with it.
Yeah, I have to agree. When I opened up my Touch Pro, I looked at the bottom, I said, "Where's the reset button?" And I went, "Uh-oh." But yeah, I mean, look on the bright side. Compared to the Touch Pro, the keys are so much bigger, and there's that misaligning, which just makes it a lot easier to type. I mean, I myself being, adolescent, I have these tiny fingers which really do a good hand with it.
Well, I
Well,
guess this is a good reason for those softwares that do soft reset, like the Mighty Mike used to include it back with his Diamond and Touch Pro ROMs, the SPB soft reset. I guess this would be a good use for them.
I have that in my GSM or GSM CDMA Touch Pro 2 ROM right now, just because I use a clear case, and getting that thing off to get to the reset button is just retarded.
Yeah, well,
I
I
mean,
myself.
I've been thinking about taking a Dremel to my battery door and my clear case.
That's one way of going at it. I use myself. I use a skin. I use one of those invisible shield skins. So I only have this with the case.
So let me just ask you this guy, you guys, this question. What ROM are you using to require a soft reset every so often?
Mighty ROM.
Mighty ROM.
I'm gonna have to admit
We're trying to promote the Mighty ROM here, but actually, because he's in our special guest now. But yeah, actually, I have to be honest. Until I updated the November 9th update today, actually, I actually was getting a very issue. I was going in landscape mode, and it was getting a little bit iffy. It was getting slow. I know it went away now after I did the hard reset. I think it was just something. It's good though.
You know
Probably
what?
something you installed.
regardless of what ROM you're running and whatnot, I've personally found with the Touch Pro 2, I don't need any soft resets unless I'm installing software.
Well, you know,
I don't know when the last time I thought, oh, my device is running slow, let me reset it.
What I've been relying on is a RAM cleaner. Actually, I've been using RAM cleaners to keep the device nice and optimized because everything runs fast afterwards.
I want to address what you said there, Lance, first, but I want to also address what Mike said. If you're into testing crap, a soft reset is just essential when you're just messing around with apps that tossed in files you've moved in and out. So when you're in the midst of cooking, it comes in pretty handy, I suppose. Now for layoffs, I know you're going to get into how you think that the Touch Pro 2 has a lot of memory munching habits. One of those issues is the resource proxy is actually reserving a lot of memory for your Sense UI and stuff like that. So even though you think the memory is not there for the applications to use it, the applications you're using are actually just reserving memory for you. So everything still is peppy, even though your RAM looks a little bit low.
I'm not worried about that. I mean, you're coming from someone who went from a Verizon Touch Pro to a Verizon Touch Pro 2. I had the 128 megabyte RAM, and I just went to the 250.
Oh my God! The Verizon Touch Pro was ridiculous. It just made me want to. I don't have Verizon, but just hearing about it made me just want to go out and kill whoever thought of. Just
whoa! Come on, we're not trying to make any death threats on this show. But yeah. All right. But let's just keep the ball rolling. I just want to bring up also with the licensing server. That's the one thing that's new for the Touch Pro 2 when it comes to licensing servers. Simonex and the Elite.
Now, let me ask with the licensing server.
Well, before you do,
why would you need a licensing server for hard SPL if you're not planning on charging for a single license?
Well, before we get to the discussion, let me just explain to those who actually don't know what the HSPL issue with the licensing server is, because there are going to be some of the people who actually don't know what we're talking about. Usually when the hard SPLs were released in the past years, in the past devices, they just were a file. You run it, and it's good. Now with the new, as of the GSM Touch Pro 2 and some other devices possibly, now you have to go to something called a licensing server, where AliPro's server makes sure that you're not installing on too many computers. According to Simonex, this is in order to make sure that people don't freeload. And I put that with quotation marks, because that's word for word what she said on the Elite team. So what were you saying, Morty?
However, I understand maybe with SIM unlocking, but for you to unlock multiple devices and put custom ROMs in all of them, how is that so much freeloading as it is just unlocking other people's devices?
Well,
I'll answer that for you there. People on the internet are unlocking devices and throwing custom ROMs on them, and they're making money off of it. They're charging for the service. They're charging for that custom ROM, and it's pissing them off.
I actually do say I think that's a great idea in context. However, I want to note that I was the victim here. I actually had to spend the extra $3 or $4 to unlock my father's Touch Pro 2. I was unlocking my Touch Pro 2. Everything went well. Then I decided, my father wants Mighty ROM, because Mighty ROM is the greatest insert plugin. So I went to unlock it. I actually did it, and it said, you need to do it. And I said, fine, I'll pay the $3, $4, and I unlocked it. I mean, that's the one thing I see. I mean, Simonex does say you can go file a ticket and go through the process, but depending on how your time constraints are, you may not want to go through that, and the donation is instant, so I went
now,
through
that. Now, there's another way you can go at it about that.
Wouldn't it have made more sense to include three unlocks per computer, or however?
I think it goes by IP or something, because I tried different computers, and it all went through the same thing. It's very weird how it went through the licensing process.
Should have went to the library.
My local library is actually locked out.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But yeah,
You know what I do when I couldn't get the HSPL to work here at home the other night because I had already previously done it. Aside from the fact that I ended up going with the manufacturer SPL on it. But before that, when I wanted to put the 1.0 oil or Olinex hard SPL on it, I just turned my router off and turned it back on, and
that resets your IP. That was an IP tumble. Yeah, so it's an IP based system. I can't do that due to software I run on my local home area.
It also differs between cable or DSL. DSL, yeah. You're getting dynamic IPs, right? So you have that luxury.
Well, I have a dynamic IP as well with my cable, with my service.
But you've got to keep it static.
Somewhat. It's like I can tumble it, but I do have to keep it static first for the meanwhile.
But
Alright, not to
another thing out of desperation would be proxy if you want.
I'm not that desperate though. I mean the...
Yeah, not to get into too much of bypassing our
yeah, we should be discussing this. Yeah.
Hard work. There are several reasons why the licensing server may have been a problem. Because people unlock maybe their father's Touch Pro or so and so. I also know people that unlock, they work in a third-party Sprint store, and they unlock in the store for people to help people out. And they can't do that now. They were doing that with Touch for One.
That's actually one of the things Simonix wanted to stop, even though they're doing it as a courtesy.
They're not charging.
I understand that, but that's one of the things...
But they're using it to push their phones. And that's the problem.
Yeah, that's what I actually agree with. That's actually one of the things I think Simonix was trying to prevent. She's trying to make sure that it's only the single user. I would like a three pack where you can just do it three times because people – the devices break over time. My – God forbid if these Touch Pros were to die on me because I spent a load of money on these for my one-year contracts. Thank God, by the way, with the new ETF rule with Verizon, which I'll get to later. I actually think a three pack would have been better than one shot, one deal. However, the idea where you go to the Sprint store and they do it for you, that is pushing for Sprint, and I actually disagree with that. So moving on from licensing server, any last thoughts before we move on from there? Okay, I'm going to take that as a no. Oh, okay.
No, go ahead.
Okay, sorry. On. I want to quickly discuss ROMs. I mean, there's a lot of ROMs coming out, specifically the one ROM that probably most of us are using, the one ROM to rule them all, the Mighty ROM. Now, I'm not trying to promote it. I'm just saying the actual phrases. I mean, all the way, I've been using Mighty ROM since Mighty ROM 4, I think it was.
Those are the good old days. The
good old days of Touch Pro 1. Yeah. And its god-awful lack of RAMness. And the ROM, it's very good. The Sense UI is nice and everything. It comes with a lot of – I like the new – tonight's – the version that just came out tonight, it does internal carrier provisioning, which is really cool. You just run the file in the system folder, and it just goes.
Yeah, that should help a lot with people who keep on forgetting to run their carrier provisioning.
It's good for the carrier provisioning. It doesn't do the minor stuff like the – does it do ArcSoft MMS, and does it do the keyboard fix?
Yes, it does.
The keyboard fix.
Oh, well, then I probably screwed up my phone installing those. But yeah, it does everything for you.
Well, no, keep in mind, just to clarify, the carrier provisioning is basically, if you're choosing Verizon and whatnot, it will install the fix. It does include MMS settings, but it does not include ArcSoft.
Oh, sorry. It was good for me to install ArcSoft then.
Well, yeah, no. you don't want to limit the
future,
user to...
In the future, Mike, do you have plans on making the provisioning file include not only ArcSoft, but let's say for Sprint, including a Sprint TV, Sprint navigation, so that while they are returning to an unlocked ROM that's close to stock, they're also returning to an unlocked ROM that's close to stock from their carrier?
One of the issues is a lot of people don't want that crap.
All right, what if it was somewhere along the lines of where you could go ahead and it says, would you like to check what you'd like to install?
Well, see, here's
so
the thing.
You check your carrier, and it does its settings, and then it says, check which else would you like to install.
I understand what you're trying to say. It just basically comes down to the fact that I've always built my ROMs based on a generic platform. Now, as much as it would be nice to have those selection boxes, I would essentially still have to include all that bloatware within the ROM in order for it to execute. So myself, being a Telus Mobility user, I'm cooking in about 20 megs of completely useless stuff to me.
That's true.
Yeah, what about a way to make it a separate download?
Well, I mean, it's not that hard. It's right on the Touch Pro 2 site. It's right on the Touch Pro section, which is now moved. If you go to the webpage and you scroll down, it's in the Windows Mobile Device section to include now Android and all those, you know, interesting new Windows mobile devices. It's right there. I mean, there's FAQs up there. If I can get someone to help me out with the Sprint FAQ, I can add links there for the Sprint Mobile TV. Bloatware-wise, I'm happy it doesn't have Verizon Navigator. It doesn't have Verizon Visual Voicemail and all that crap that they want to make me spend another $20 when I'm giving them already $30, $60. So yeah, I actually I like the generic idea. I mean, I don't like it where it's like bare bones, but I like it where it's plump but not overstuffed is the best.
Well, I've always built the ROM based on a generic concept. I've never wanted to conform the user to certain themes or programs or anything like that. My ROM is basically you flash it, and I'm guaranteeing you that functionality-wise as a device, it'll work. Beyond that, whatever programs you want to add at a later date, you do it till you're blue in the face. I don't care what you put on it.
I myself have tons of apps and everything. I mean, there's also you can use software like Sashimi and everything to automate that. So anyway, so
we do appreciate, Mike, that you build the ROM so
you.
Solid and
stuff. We love you, Mike.
Frustratingly enough, I appreciate it.
Yeah, I know. It's a love-hate relationship. We'll put it that way. Anyways, next topic, Android. It's out.
Woohoo.
I'm sorry. We need to get some iPhone users and some Android users on here in the future. But yeah.
You got the wrong crew for this conversation.
Well, let's discuss the marketing campaigns then.
The marketing campaign. Yeah. You mean the marketing campaign that they had to license the word droid from LucasArts?
Lucasfilm owns the word droid. Yeah, and that's one thing I want to bring up. And I noted this a couple of weeks ago. I was going to bring it up on the show when we had it. We were going to have it a week ago, but I never just got it around to doing it due to some technical issues. But yeah, apparently the word droid, which I heard rumors in the past of it being like a copyright licensing issue with Google, and apparently they got it settled now because now they have the word droid under trademark permission with Lucasfilm. So.
Yeah, he invented the word. He owns it.
Yeah, when do I get R2-D2? When do I get R2-D2 on my phone? That's what I'm wondering, you know? So yeah, here's my
do you think Android is going to eventually overtake Windows Mobile and become the predominant mobile phone software?
It depends on Windows Mobile 7, which is coming out in supposed to be released in February. Devices are supposed to come out in April, May. So we'll find out in the next 6 to 10 months where we're going with Windows Mobile 7, which is according to Steve Ballmer going to fix the failure of Windows Mobile. Yes, he called it a failure or a screw up in quotation marks. But
we're only at Windows CE version 5 here, and 7's going to be version 6.
Yeah, I think on the Zune HD was like a rumor towards it. Like, didn't the Zune HD run Windows CE 6 or was it modified 5?
Oh, I'm not sure.
I think I heard somewhere it was a 6. I may be wrong. Don't quote me on this, but I think a Zune HD. I know for a fact that Windows Mobile 7 is going to integrate Zune, so I won't have to buy the Zune HD because I actually use the Windows Marketplace and I use the Zune Pass. So that's one plus in my book.
Well, if Microsoft holds to their trend right, then Windows 7 is going to be a Vista failure, and then you're going to have the next one up, and it'll be version Windows Mobile or Win CE 6.1, which is the current Windows version 7, if you're taking version numbers into account. So
I don't know, actually. I think I give them a shot. I mean, Windows 7, I mean, it actually came out much better than Windows Vista. And
Windows 7 is outstanding.
It just came out. I mean, they're still going through, but it definitely was more of a hit than Windows Vista. I mean, it's a whole different market area, but still, I think Microsoft is starting to learn from their mistakes and actually appreciate the user input.
Well, yeah, you have to. Think of Windows Vista as a person walking out the door and getting a kick in the groin every time they do it. That was the reminder of the failure they had. So, of course, you're going to lose, or you're going to learn from that situation.
Of course. Morty, we're going to say something?
I was going to ask, and the whole Windows 7... I was going to ask Armad Julo what he thought, because I believe you work with computers as your job?
Yeah, I do. Windows 7,
so
I've been running it for quite
a time. When you're speaking to potential clients who are looking to purchase 7, or maybe they're looking to upgrade their computer to Vista or 7, what is your thoughts on this?
My thoughts is get it on your computer if you're suffering with Vista as quick as possible. I haven't been able to keep retail copies of 7 in my retail storefront. They've just been moving.
What about if they have XP currently?
XP currently? Well, there's your issue. If you're running XP on a newer hardware system, then you can make the upgrade no problem. Granted, you'll have to make your backups because you can't do a straight-in-place upgrade from XP, only from Vista SB1. If you're running an older computer with Windows XP, I say don't bother wasting your money. Go buy something new with Windows 7 already on it, because you're going to be putting an operating system on there that functionality is great on it if you have the computer to back it up.
Well, that goes for anything. I mean, when Windows Vista came out, that was one of their big pet peeves. They're saying you need to have the right PC for this to work. And at the time, I had a pretty decent PC. It worked right until I found out that it got bloated.
Yeah, Windows 7 doesn't get as badly bloated as Windows
Vista. Yeah, I've been running it for a while. I've been running the RTCs and everything for a while now. I just
also, Windows 7 manages its memory a whole lot better. So even on systems that are running a little bit lower memories, like 1 gig of RAM on Vista was intolerable. 1 gig of RAM on Windows 7, I actually do have it on an older laptop here. It's still very usable and very tolerable. I mean,
folks, this is Photoshopping
and burning a DVD, but...
This is from the computer expert. You've been heard. If you want to make the jump, make the jump. Yours truly, Juggalo X.
It's doable, but I wouldn't recommend it on a single core processor. Let's put it that way.
Sure. Okay, so since this show is about mobile devices and not Windows 7, I want to move on to just one last note about the Android, which is it came out, and it's now being fleeted under Verizon Wireless. So it kind of is a big FU to me, because considering I just bought their Touch Pro 2, and they didn't do any marketing ad campaigns. They just said, here's your Touch Pro 2.
Do they really need to do marketing campaigns with the Touch Flow 2?
It's a device that they really could, because the Touch Flow 2 would really sell a lot of people. And it does a lot more than the old one did.
Yeah, but Verizon can't keep the Touch Pro 2 in stock.
It's in stock. I think it's in stock right now.
Yes, and it was out of stock for, what, 4 months?
It was out of stock twice in the last month and a half.
Yes, but how long was it out of stock for?
Yeah, it wasn't very good. In fact, I had to wait. I actually almost missed it. In fact, I got mine right before it went out of stock the second time. So, yeah, I can see they blundered. Now they're keeping up. So, yeah, I guess they didn't have to. But think about it. What if they did do marketing? They would probably still be out of stock.
Well, Windows Mobile never does any marketing because, I mean, for the average user, it's kind of complicated to use.
Well, Microsoft just started advertising. Didn't you see the Windows Phone campaigns on TV?
Yeah, but they're showcasing, like, future Windows, like Windows 7, like Windows Mobile 7, like my phone. They show Windows Live Suite on there, and my phone, it looks nothing like that.
I see your point. However, I do remember also seeing an AT&T ad for the Fuse back a couple of years ago, or a year ago.
Oh, yeah, I saw that, too.
So I think it's, like, iffy. I don't think Verizon ever does ads for Windows Mobile, but certainly other carriers do. For example, AT&T.
Telus never does ads for Windows Mobile. I don't think I've ever seen a Telus Windows Mobile ad. However, I've seen too many BlackBerry ads.
I've seen too many iPhone ads.
From them.
Oh, my God.
I haven't seen an iPhone ad yet.
We need an iPhone first.
You know what Telus is a lot now? The Hero.
For the record, the Hero, yes. I've seen, not the Hero, you know, yeah, the Hero, I think it is. It's called the MyTouch or something by T-Mobile, I think it is.
Yeah, I've seen lots of commercials for the MyTouch, like a phone that gets you when there's people, like, swiping it around.
Yeah, it's like, it has Whoopi Goldberg holding the phone, smiling or something.
Right.
It has another guy. I think it's, I don't know, it's about being you. It's the You MyTouch 3G with T-Mobile, which we're going to get to T-Mobile in there. Outages in a minute. I just want to discuss one last thing.
Before we discuss T-Mobile, speaking of Verizon and their ads...
We're going to discuss carriers in just a sec. I just want to do one last note with the Android. The one thing I just want to note here with Android is that you do have to pay, unlike with the Windows Mobile phone, an exchange fee. You have to pay to use exchange services. So,
do you?
Yes. It's like a new fee coming up. And let me note, thanks a lot, Android. Now I got to pay... bunch load more money for my early termination fee. They jumped it to like $375 now.
It's $350.
$350, I'm sorry. And it goes down by $20 a month for the duration of your contract. Or now they may have risen it or something. Either way, you do have to pay more money now. It went up at least $100 to
I think Android's just gonna take off. I think it's gonna be like the next iPhone thing, once it catches on, it's gonna be everywhere.
Probably. It could.
Well, let's hope so, because the Dream really hurt it. One of those display models fell apart in my hand just looking at it.
You mean, is the Dream the G1? I don't recall. Exactly.
Yeah,
the
Dream is the G1.
The G1,
The G1 was ugly.
Just a note, though, this is a big step, though, because the Android left T-Mobile. T-Mobile's like the surrogate mother of phones. They just try everything, and then if someone likes it, they take it off T-Mobile and move it on, because... T-Mobile is just trying to grab a market in the United States, even though they have the whole of the market in Europe. It's kind of weird with T-Mobile, but yeah. So let's move on now to carriers, because we have a lot to discuss about carriers. We have layoffs. We have fees increasing. We have termination fees, like I said, with Verizon. We have a lot more, I bet. So, Morty, you want to bring something up about Verizon?
Oh, yes. Verizon recently, and very interestingly, decided to attack the common AT&T. There's an app for that. Campaign with there's a map for that.
Oh, yeah, and the lawsuit.
Discuss their coverage. And
AT&T
didn't like it.
Yeah.
In fact, they filed a lawsuit, I believe.
Yeah, I threw on the lot. Someone was nice enough to throw me the link, and I posted up a news post a couple days ago. It says right there they're suing them over. There's a map for that. They're claiming that it's false advertising. They said that this is not our coverage. We have a lot more coverage than this because apparently they don't. What Verizon used to show the coverage was the HSDPA coverage map, which is a GSM version of 3G's in their mind. In reality, Verizon, AT&T says, well, we also have Edge. And Edge is considered in our minds 3G. And Verizon's like, no, that's not Edge. It's just not 3G. You see, that's the problem with these carriers. I mean, they have different bands, so, yeah.
It's because 3G is a marketing term. I mean, like, you, like the average consumer, you say, like, oh, I have 3G, 3G, where in reality it's Evdo, Edge, all that other stuff.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, there's just no definition of 3G. Which goes back to all there's no definition of 4G. It's just a term. The 4G or 3G means third generation. It just means this is the next step. But when do we define the step? It could be a 10-foot step, a 3-foot step. No one really knows how to define the step. So as a result, AT&T is saying to Verizon, well, we don't think you're claiming our size or our band that work correctly. Because Verizon claims EVDO to be its 3G, I believe. Correct?
Not if they want the speed.
Any which way, getting back to the there's a map for that campaign. They've done several things, like they've gone ahead and shown the iPhone as being a misfit. They've gone ahead and shown an iPhone and the Blues together. And they're pretty much, it doesn't seem to me as much as they're bashing the 3G speed as that they're bashing the iPhone. I think that's interesting, seeing how, as the iPhone is always being promoted as, you know, this phone does it compared to the iPhone. Recently, I've seen some video comparisons of the browsers on other mobile platforms like the HD2, and they're trying to compare it. How does it measure up on the iPhone? How does the gravity sensor measure up on the iPhone? And the iPhone, which came out, well, we'll take the 3GS, just to be more consistent, just came out, what was it, 3-4 months ago, and here it is, and you have the HD2, which hasn't even come out yet, and at least in the States, and we're talking about, oh, well, the HD2 beats the iPhone, finally. It's got faster rotation. It's got a better browser. Its zoom is better. It's got capacitive like the iPhone had. And I just find that interesting that Verizon's approach is to pull out a Droid and say, oh, well, the iPhone doesn't have the coverage the Droid has. I don't think that really addresses the issue of the iPhone being smoother in people's opinions and being better suited for them.
That's a good point, actually. Yeah, I'll be honest. I mean, I'm not a fan of the iPhone, but I'll be honest. One of the big reasons why I'm not a fan is two reasons. One, no hardware keyboard, and two, AT&T. I will never, ever probably be with AT&T due to the one, the GSM, and two, the coverage. Verizon, you're right.
Speaking of which, I mean, speaking of the iPhone, we got a news tip that the iPhone was coming to Verizon shortly.
Oh, I have
I'm really interested to know.
That's coming later on the list.
Oh, and that. In that really ugly mini form.
But what I'm really interested to know is how many people are going to go ahead and switch over to the iPhone, the phone that no one really likes, as soon as it comes out on the reliable network. But we'll get to that later.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. Actually, I want to note with T-Mobile, how they're really pushing, they're really trying, we have another device coming out through Motorola, which is an Android device, I believe. They already have their fleet of Sidekicks. Already, whatever they have with Android, they have. When they have the Windows Mobile Touch Pro 2. They have a lot of different phones and all kinds of ones. But like I said, like we go over with one of the big issues with people is coverage. And their coverage is not...
You know, I'd go with T-Mobile just because I don't know if you guys are aware of it, but I know one of our admins, Mindfrost, found an article about how when you log in to pay your bill on T-Mobile's website, you get to see free boobs.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Oh, I almost forgot. So I forgot about that, yeah.
Paid my bill, saw some boobs, you know?
Well, this is a I guess I could put it. I should call it a family show because none of us here, some of us here, are not old enough to see boobs. I'll put it that way.
Maybe that's T-Mobile's way of trying to make it up to the consumer. I mean, we recently had the Sidekick outage where all the data was lost and then most of
it
was covered. And then we had the entire outage of service from coast.
That's
to
what
coast.
I wanted to bring up. Yep.
Yep. So I was like, huh, well, maybe this is their way of trying to make it up. Oh, stay with us, guys. We have boobs.
Yeah, let me check something. It was a couple days ago. I think it was the beginning of November. Was it the 2nd or the 3rd? I'm looking on my Facebook, and I have some friends who actually
Just
have,
look at the news feed on the PPC Geeks.
You can go to the PPCGeeks.com, go on our news feed, and you'll see right there one of the days, T-Mobile loses national voice and data. Just like, goodbye. Like, nothing. It's not like a like I've actually had at one point in my entire history of having of a Windows mobile device one outage with data with Verizon, and it was during the summer, and after that nothing. But that was just local. This is nationwide outage. So it just makes you wonder. Is T-Mobile keeping up? Can they? Cause this is.
I have a data outage right now, and it's just me, and I'm. Bad enough for me. Telus doesn't even know why I won't send a kid on their data network, but it ain't happening for me.
I think you need to flash the more stable ROM. I don't think it's actually the data outage.
It's got nothing to do with the ROM. I ran stock all day while I was on the tech support for 3 hours.
For note, though, I remember someone bringing that up about signal bars in the ROM in the Touch Pro 2 forums. They're like, I don't have enough single bars. This ROM sucks, Mike. Yeah, that was another one of those conversations we had after the HSPL came out. Oh, how nice. How nice our premature fellow ROM developers are.
Wonderful transition from Windows Mobile 6.1 to 6.5.
Yeah, right. The whole transition, what did they add? One file, I don't know, something like that. They did, I can't even tell the difference.
They made it pretty.
It's there, it's back.
Oh, yeah, it's the eye candy. Something I see a lot in the forums, and it makes me not want to go ahead and respond and help people. And people are like, I don't see how this is any better than the stock ROM. It's just a little bit prettier, and I can do the same thing with the theme. And I feel like writing like, oh, why don't you just go flashback to stock, please? Don't come back here. Have a nice day.
Oh, don't bash them on here. I mean, we're promoting good friendliness. I mean,
I don't think that the users of the ROMs understand the amount of hours and effort
that
chefs such as Mighty Mike and Juicy47 and Juggalo and others put in to making them a ROM that works properly with updated content and less or more features depending on how you look at it, and they just go ahead and they're so quick to bash, and I don't know.
I know, I agree with you there. We just updated today. It must have been less than, if not maybe a week and a half turnover from the ROM being released. And Mike's already on it with an update. He's not sleeping. People, he's not sleeping. He's building ROMs. He's updating. This goes for all our ROM developers, such as we had the Silence ROMs that came out. We had the NRG. Didn't get to see Diesel Fuel. I'm waiting for Diesel Fuel to come out, but we'll see.
No, he's waiting for Mike to cook it, or me. Yeah. I've been propositioned as well, I guess.
I'm actually waiting for my PayPal donation.
Yeah, for those who don't know, a joke is running around in our little pal Ringo click, our little circle, that Big Diesel, one of the moderators on our site, ppcgeeks.com, was going to build a ROM. He was going to call it Diesel Fuel, and we're just joking. It's just going to be Mighty ROM with a different name on and a different picture, like a truck instead of a mouse.
Well, one's for the mice and one's for the real people.
And you know what? No, the funny thing is we should play a little game one night and just let some no-face release a ROM and one that somebody else will throw together for them, and we'll see how they compare up.
They will probably find totally different bugs.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Mike, oh wow! You want to do
Mighty ROMs feel smoother?
Wait, you want to do a ROM placebo test, basically. You want to do a double blind placebo test.
It's the Coke challenge.
The Coke challenge.
Dude,
the Coke challenge of Mighty ROM.
They're not paying us for that. Don't we'll be
do
throwing
it.
No names out there.
I agree, Marty. Let's do it.
They won't even know what.
Hey, Mike, we'll switch download links for a day.
Oh boy, don't worry. So that's actually a good example of like all these ROMs and everything. I want to note there's like at least 10 to 20 different ROMs out there. There's a lot of them. I mean, Touch Pro 1 didn't have as many. Did it have this many ROMs when the HSPL came?
It had more.
It had more, you see?
Oh, not from the release of the HSPL, but definitely.
Touch Pro. Right
now, I believe that the Touch Pro 1 has way more ROMs. It's not double, it's not triple the amount of ROMs that the Touch Pro 2 has out available for it. And we have different style ROMs. We have, like, JD and DCD, who both build a really clean ROM. I mean, you'd have to install the HTC Task Manager, something that most people would consider needs to be on every ROM to close out applications. And you would have to do that with both of those ROMs. And both of those people provide kitchens, so I guess it's not so bad if you're familiar with cooking in a kitchen. But
yeah,
if you're not, then there is a lot of installing of tabs. And both of them managed to take different tracks, even though they both went as bare as possible. JD seems to be taking, JD being Jack Dillard, seems to be going ahead and grabbing the latest build that he can find on 6.5.1 and taking them and cleaning them out, making them stable, and releasing it as a beta. And DCD grabs builds of 6.5 that are stable and have been out for a while, and he cleans them out, and he makes sure that they're stable, and he releases them, and he's not throwing out new builds every day. At one point, I was just flashing the new JD build every day just to see where 6.5.1 was going, and he was literally throwing out builds every 20. But we don't really have that for Touch Pro 2 yet. We don't have so many.
We'll get there. I mean, like, there's still a lot of development. I mean, we just got the ball rolling. It's been less than 2 weeks or so just since we released the HSPL, and there's a lot of people who are starting like to look into ROM developing right now. There's a lot of faces I've never seen before with the ROMs. There's some cool features. There's a Sensui. There's all this cool stuff. So if you have a Touch Pro 2 and you haven't flashed it yet, you really need to head down to that forum. It's the Touch Pro 2 CDMA ROM updates and unlocks forum section. It has a lot of great stuff to look into.
I counted about 10 different ROMs available right now.
At least, if
five
not more.
Five more that are coming soon.
Yeah.
So there are definitely a lot of potential there.
Yeah, the Touch Pro upgrades just exploded after like a few months of the unlocker being out. There's ROMs all over the place, all these different names that no one had ever heard of, and still rolling, but I think most of the major guys have switched over to the Touch Pro 2. So I'm still using the Touch Pro 1 as my main phone, and I have Groove ROM running on it, and that's really the only one who really keeps it constantly updated anymore in that section.
Well, there's a flavor for everyone, right? And that's the best thing about it.
I have to agree. Everyone, there's no bias. You just choose what works. You have to experiment. That's the idea about the HSPL. This is homebrew. Homebrew is where you look and you find what fits you. You slipshod, you mix and match, you do whatever you want, because it's just open-ended, because it's homebrew. So remember, guys, just don't feel like you're obligated to go buy a certain ROM. Just because I'm saying I use Mighty ROM doesn't mean you have to use Mighty ROM. You use whatever ROM works. So back to, like, from ROMs, now it's like, I just want to bring back into carriers. I mean, I was noting earlier, there's the layoffs from Sprint. Sprint has been really fighting. I mean, we've seen a lot of cool features from them. They now offer, for certain plans, unlimited mobile-to-mobile. They've been advertising that. But they really are struggling, because you can see now, they're going to be slashing 2,500 jobs, 2,500 jobs. This just came into the news area. I have to thank Mr. Goodtunes on the forums there for actually bringing this up. It's actually a CNN article. And 2,500 people are losing their jobs there, which is... awful. I mean, it's never great when people lose their jobs, and not to mention everyone's, losing. But another issue with carriers, I mean, I'm under the big red, Verizon, and you gotta hate it. They suck you dry, the money. I pay right now, I'm on a family plan, $30 a month alone per phone. So we're paying $60 just for the internet connection. But good news for you if you're a Droid user, you get to pay an extra $15 for the exchange. And if you include tethering, you're going to jump right basically yourself to $75 a month just for the data. let alone the voice blend
thing. Now, why is that? Why is that? Why is that you can't use your existing data package and use your exchange? It's just a protocol over the internet. Are they filtering the ports, or is it a special app that you have to pay for? Like, what's going on with that?
They have to be making you pay through the nose, because it's the same thing as a Verizon phone. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense, Verizon.
They make you do that with BlackBerry, don't they?
With BlackBerry, it's a different story, you see. You don't have to pay the $30 a month data fee. Instead, you pay only $15 a month for your data. So they have like a whole tier system. You have, they just started offering prepaid data where you can pay like $30 on a broadband card for like 50 megabytes. You have the BlackBerry plans, you have the standard phone plans, which are for Brew phones like the Voyager and the Envy Touch and all those phones. You've got my $30 a month data plan. Now you've got that in addition to a $15 exchange fee for Android. And just to top it off, you still have to pay for your voice and data. You have to pay for your voice fees and everything. You still got to pay a good $50, $60 just to get your standard voice account, which is kind of upsetting. One at a time, please.
Me and Morty just going at it.
Come on, guys. We don't do like a world champion, you know, WWE whatever fighting. Okay,
all right, Morty, go.
Morty. Okay, so can one claim that maybe Verizon is upping its fee on exchange because they're trying to make money? Because now they have a Touch Pro 2 out there that actually has all the RAM. So now they're trying to make money off the fact that that they had to pay full price for the Touch Pro 2.
Well, I don't know, cause I only paid I've only paid for a 1 year contract $220, cause my father works for the government and he gets a government discount and all that jazz. So I'm not sure if it's actually for the Touch Pro 2. It's definitely with the Android. I don't pay the exchange fee. It's only for Android phones. So I'm wondering really why are they doing this? Because you see, Exchange is a primarily business system. It's for like people who are in businesses who actually want the push email service for their corporate companies. Only some of us homebrewers actually use the push email, and except for majorities use it now because Google offers push email, which I love. Thank you, Google, for that.
Which was horrible to set up at first.
God! I put up a guide and it got buried, but it actually didn't get. It actually lasted a while on XDA, but it got buried on the PPC Geeks site. So cheers to that. And as Mike said, greatly. Only an idiot would know how to do that. I'm like, wow, man, you make me feel better. But yeah, I think they're trying to just make the corporate guys pay a little bit more, because mostly it's a corporate function for exchange. What do you guys think?
I use it.
Well,
Gmail's got it.
I mean, before Gmail, it was mostly corporate, wasn't it?
Yeah.
True, maybe that, but let me ask you something. If I'm going to go and buy a phone off you, why would I get the Android phone and make me pay more when I could go get a Touch Pro 2 and have Exchange for free?
Well, because you want Droid, that's why.
Yeah, they want the Droid. You want that.
Simply, you want Droid.
Remember those advertisements?
How could you not want Droid?
At the end, it has that, like almost like you're inside like the machine of Love Doom. You've got this eye looking at you and saying, you want the Droid. The Droid will consume you. That's what's happening here, folks. We're being consumed by the Droid. Wait a second. The Droid's Google. Exchange is now Google. Are they just trying to get money off Google?
I'm personally not even impressed by the designs. I don't even like the way it looks.
The Droid, how it looks? Oh, I actually hate the keyboard.
The keyboard, it looks like we're going back to the Touch Pro 1 style. It's just straight, and I also don't like how with every Android phone, they seem to want your right hand to hump over to type.
Well,
it's like you've got that sensor pad there. It's just not usable.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but don't forget, these are different, completely different phone designers. The Droid is made by Motorola. Our phones are made by HTC. One of them is in, I think, America. I think Motorola is still in America. They haven't left yet. And HTC is Taiwan. Is a Taiwan company. They're in completely different worlds. One of them is in its own little thing. Yeah, but
But if you're talking about design difference and everything, Mike's got a point there. Even the HTC Dream, the G1, you open that baby up and it's got that curved right hand side, and it just messes with your hand while you're typing.
I wouldn't know because I haven't actually had an Android device, so I haven't heard much about this. But I don't know. Maybe it could be a Google requirement. It would be
all phones kind of must be curved.
Google's into curves. Look at the logo. There's everything except for the L is curved. The E is curved. The O's are curved. And the G is curved. The L is not.
Speaking of Google, I just read tonight, and it's going to be here in the PPC Geeks news in about 20 minutes, that Google, or Google Voice specifically, bought Gizmo. Mm-hmm. Gizmo, in case you don't know, is a IP, voice over IP service where you can get telephone service over the internet, and it's much cheaper. There's been other more well-known examples like Skype, but I think Gizmo was one of the first things that really launched VoIP or voice over IP out there. And if Google Voice bought that, what does that mean for the future of Google?
I agree.
Does that mean that Google Voice will be offering VoIP? I can use my Google Voice account on my computer because I can do it through VoIP. I mean, what does that mean? What do you guys think?
Well, for example, like with Gizmo, Gizmo I think is revolutionary because back in the day with Gizmo coming out, they offered free phone service. They started the credit service that Skype now uses. I may be wrong. They may have both started at the same time. Then Skype may have been first. Someone else may have been first. But I remember Gizmo. I recall Gizmo being one of the major ones to offer it, and they were one of like the they were very small, very indie like where Skype began to expand and grow and get more hype than Gizmo. And now that Gizmo's being taken by Google Voice, you know, maybe it does mean we'll get... I mean, they have a Gizmo app for the computer and mobile devices. Does this mean, though, we get to get the... Does it mean we get to... I don't know. Perhaps. Perhaps now we're going to have Google Voice for the PC. Maybe Google Voice is going to go mainstream. They're still in the middle of that big FCC thing. Who knows?
Doesn't Google already have a voice app for their phone, though?
Google Voice app. Well, only for like you mean the iPhone app? The whole controversy with that?
No, I thought I might be wrong here. I thought I heard something about Sprint was allowing their Google Voice to have free call forwarding, and I thought I could have swore there was a Pocket PC app out there for Google Voice, so you could get your Google Voice calls on it.
There is kind of where you can use like there's like. Morty T actually wrote up a huge post. It's not a signature. All these things you can use to use Google Voice. You can use GVoice. You can use iCaller. I use Magicall, which is a fantastic piece of software. It lets you, it automatically dials for you and everything. You just have to type in the number and it goes automatically, and you can set, you know, exception numbers and all that jazz. For Apple, we know the controversial iPhone app issue, which was back during the summer. And after that, Google actually said they're going to be going more cloud browser-based after that to prevent that. So I don't know, maybe they're going to use Gizmo as one of their platforms to distribute Google Voice. Who knows?
All right, well, with that being said, I guess the remaining item on our agenda to discuss tonight would be the Google Voice will no longer be supporting WinMax, also known as Clearwire.
4G, yeah.
So, apparently, Sprint has rolled out 4G in select cities like Chicago, very close to me, so I'm happy I'm going to go down there. Not that we have any phones that can take advantage of 4G yet, but they're rolling it out, and apparently Google has decided today that it was pulling out. It wasn't going to go ahead and support it anymore.
In the conjunction, though, several other companies decided, hey, let's throw some more money at Clearwire. And as Google opted out of throwing more money at Clearwire, I believe there's a list somewhere on the homepage here. We have... It's loading. We've got Time Warner Cable, Comcast, Intel, all throwing another $500 million here. $500 million. Yeah, cha-ching.
So why did they pull out? Did they specify why besides they weren't willing to throw more money at him?
That sounds like the issue. I mean, it sounds like that they think it's not going anywhere. I mean, don't forget, Google actually looked into investing. Don't forget, this was a long time ago, but there was the FCC situation where, the FCC had, like, they wanted they're fighting over the ban. They were fighting between Verizon and Google. Maybe Google feels like they're just done with WiMAX. Maybe they just want to pull out and move into other interests. Who knows?
Yeah, well, don't interest me none.
Who knows? So anyway, we're pretty much, it's been an hour where, you know, we're winding down. No one here has either had caffeine Oh, I have to bring that up. I have to bring up... I'm sorry. We have to bring up
one... I'm sorry. I just got a news tip. I feel I must share it with you.
We have to discuss... This is our only iPhone... This is actually an iPhone thing, so our iPhone listeners, enjoy.
I mean, I discussed the CDMA iPhone, but there's always been talk about the iPhone App Store and how it's got 10,000 apps, and it's amazing, and Windows Mobile has nothing on it. And I've always thought Windows Mobile has maybe not as many apps, but we have quality apps. We don't have 50 fart apps. We may have one, but not 50. And tonight I get a tip that another app was approved through the App Store. And this one is called Hitler's Mein Kampf. And I'm sorry, but we're putting an app, Hitler's Mein Kampf app, in the App Store.
Well, did they have the app that was the jiggling boobs before, and then they pulled it shortly after?
For Windows Mobile.
Well, anything will make it in. It's just whether or not they'll pull it on you, I guess.
They actually have a approval process. Someone has to physically – you're actually these people who just sit at their computers all day approving these applications and running them. They actually don't just get on. Once they're approved and then they find out the media goes, what the F is this? Then they decide to pull it. I mean, this happened several occasions, the Jiggling Boobs app, the Choking Baby app, and this will probably happen to the Mein Kampf, which is a book by Hitler – during the 30s, it was about his struggle. It's a neo-Nazi book. It's promoting neo-Nazism and the Nazi movement. So we can obviously see why this won't last.
Did that make it on there? I would much rather have jiggling boobs than my kids read neo-Nazi literature.
Oh, Lord. Oh, yeah. Who knows?
I think Apple needs to be more selective with, like, change the way they put the apps in the App Store. Because accepting this stuff and then pulling it is just going to get everyone pissed off, and it gives bad press, and it just looks bad all around.
Well, does it look better to keep an app that talks about Hitler's neo-Nazi movement, or does it keep better to keep an app to pull it? There is the question.
Well, it looks like they're just keying out their numbers. I mean, like, they'll let anything. And I mean, like you said, there's 50 fart apps. I mean, you got to say... And then they don't let really good apps in. Like, they denied the first Google Voice app that was submitted.
Yeah, that was brought up. Yeah, that was another controversy.
Now, from what I hear, the app, which is really an ebook, it was in Spanish, and that might have been part of the reason why it made it through the approval process at all. It may have also
did it make it to somebody who read no Spanish? Like, were they not able to set it to a different department?
It's me, Lucha. It's not my comp. It's me, Lucha.
And I hear that it's gotten pulled, but, of course, a lot of things have gotten through, and the fact that someone approved it and allowed it in, even if it was Spanish, and even if you could even argue the point that it was a Spanish translation, so therefore it wasn't really a app aimed at promoting Mein Kampf, even if you're going to go ahead and promote all of that, it really should not have made its way through, especially when you have other stuff that don't make its way through, like the Google Voice app, or made its way through and got pulled very fast, which had absolutely nothing in such moral questions as this Hitler app. And not only that, this Hitler app wasn't even free. It was $1.99 for the app, and it got rated 9 stars.
You know what? I have to say, I actually have a solution here. Maybe Steve Jobs just wants the iPhone to be bilingual. Perhaps.
Well, I'm actually very curious on what they plan on doing with the iPhone. I got a tip from I personally own an iTouch that someone gave it to me. And I had a game on there by Storm8. And I recently got a tip from someone else who plays the game saying that Storm8 is collecting your phone number through its apps. They have about eight different apps out there. And they went ahead and are collecting your phone number through their app, which makes me wonder, what is the ROMs on my phone doing? You know, what is the applications that I'm installing from XDA doing? What is going on? So, I mean, I want to pose that as a final question to you readers. Do you know what the applications and ROMs in your phone are doing? Is it sending your phone number and all your personal information out?
That's my question. All to my server.
Yeah. Juggalo has actually got this box, and I got a box down here. We're when you're listening to this podcast, we're secretly collecting your birthday.
And then I'm going to sell it to spammers and make millions.
We're going to make so much money.
My friend told me he got called.
Too late, though. I already have all your social security numbers.
be sticking rich, guys.
So please leave your social security numbers in the comments. I appreciate it. And your addresses and your date of birth. And we'll sell you car warranties just like they do with the phone numbers.
Mm-hmm. So I just want to wrap things up now because we've discussed a lot. It's been over an hour. We've discussed everything from forget it. We've discussed a lot. You know what? I just want to wrap the show up with a very nice note because we had a guest here tonight, Mike, and we steamrolled him. I'm sorry. We gave him and we didn't really put a lot into it. So I want to take a moment now and I want to ask him a couple questions because most of you don't know the mask behind the Mighty Rock. So now, the E special, the mouse behind the Mighty Rock, or something like that. So Mike, okay. So I'm just gonna take a moment now and ask that we do like a three-way interview on Mike. So, Mike, just give me a short like introduction.
Three-way.
Three-way.
You gotta edit that, dude.
Okay, so Mike, tell me.
Am I beginning with the history? What do you ask
me? Tell me, where did you get started? Where did you get the idea of Mighty ROM? Where did you want to get involved with Mighty ROM and ROM development?
Well, it all started back with the HTC Diamond. Basically, that was really my first pocket PC device. I bought that as soon as it came out, and believe it or not, the first ROM I flashed was the Juicy ROM. And basically, it all started from there. I personally, the ROM was good, but it had some bugs that I didn't like, and little by little, I started learning about kitchens. And basically, beyond that, one of my really good friends, Ghetto Freerider, a lot of people don't notice his name on the forums. He's pretty much what you would compare to as ConFlipper, one of the guys behind the scenes. And he was basically the main reason why I ever created my first ROM. Basically, spent hours with me. Teaching me what to do. It pretty much all just snowballed from there. I never had the idea of ever releasing my ROM, ever. It was just for me until he actually persuaded me, and he told me, just do it.
No, I'm kidding.
So
did you call it the Mighty ROM? Like, where'd you get the name Mighty ROM?
Well, my nickname is Mighty Mike, so it was only so fitting that the ROM came after it. For the people who have known me from the start, it was actually called the Mighty Stable ROM in its first revision. And that actually went on for a few releases till I decided to shorten it up.
Where did you get the nickname Mighty Mike? I'm just curious.
It's actually one of the names for one of these DJs that I used to listen to quite a while back. He was actually one of my buddies from Vancouver. And I used to listen to his mixes and whatnot. And yeah, I took his name. I don't talk to him anymore.
I'm sure he thanks you for that.
Well, it's been about 5-6 years, but it's transferred over to myself.
It's been the torch has been passed from DJ to Ron.
And he's been getting one hell of a bunch of hits because people took Mighty Mike and they're pulling up some DJ.
Yeah, it's like, it's true. Mighty Mike. Vancouver DJ, what is this junk? What about the mouse? Where did you get like the Mighty Mouse? Because Mighty Mouse is like very, not even a lot of people know Mighty Mouse, which is like an old cartoon.
It's pretty old. It's even before my time.
Like 50s or it's maybe earlier. It's an old cartoon character that's Mighty Mouse.
Well, obviously, you look at the name Mighty ROM, Mighty Mike. I'm not a big guy. I'm pretty small. So it all kind of went hand in hand. And it became the face of my ROM, pretty much. And a lot of people actually like it. You know, you get the odd users who make fun of you and whatnot. But, like, really, do I really care about that? It's the internet.
It is the internet.
It's pretty much, it's the face of my ROM. And it's nice to have, you know, if someone sees that picture, they kind of link it to something. Yeah. It's nice.
It's super cool.
And, Mike, you have a website where users can go and get ROM updates. Is that correct?
Of course I do. I actually have a few ways. You either visit my thread on Pocky PC Geeks. You can visit my website, mightyrom.com. There you'll find, you know, random news articles. You'll also find my ROM updates and whatnot. I am also on Twitter, twitter.com/mightyrom, if you need any updates.
So, yeah, I just want to ask you another question. Is that still one of your focuses? Like you told me, your name used to be the Mighty Stable ROM. Is stability still one of your key concerns in your ROM?
I personally go out of my way to put bugs in my ROMs.
No, I knew it. I knew it. This damn thing.
Some of the change logs can be epic.
Yeah. You know what? A lot of people, there's the two different types of, actually, there's a few different types of chefs. They're the chefs who, you know, they can't help but grab all the new packages out there and, oh, this looks really nice. I want it and whatnot. I've done that too in the past, but you've got to, when you're pretty much making a ROM like the Mighty ROM, you know there are thousands of users using it. I especially know because I see my download logs.
What are they?
Do I really want people to be running a broken product? No, I don't. If I was a chef who was creating a ROM for 20, 30 users, sure, try out this stuff. Let's play with it. But, you know, people are actually flashing my stuff to use it as a phone every day.
What kind of statistics are we talking about here? Because you said, I said at the beginning of the show, we were talking about 10,000. Are we talking about more or less, more than that?
Each download can reach up to about 10,000 per release.
Per release, like per series or per each?
Nope, per release. So like the ROM I just released tonight, give it about a few a week or so, and we'll be nearing the 6,000, 7,000 mark.
So we're talking about...
Can we get the current statistics?
Oh my God.
Actually, no, because the server is not mine. It's from Little Rico. Although what I can tell you is that the ROM from the initial release, so the ROM on the HSPL night, that actually just passed 6,000 downloads. So
total,
obviously,
so we're talking about terabytes and terabytes, because each ROM is about 100 megs, give or take.
Mm-hmm.
So, mind-boggling, people. Terabytes and terabytes.
The server pushes probably a couple of terabytes per month. And you know what? Little Rico has done a fantastic job providing me hosting.
Yeah.
We've all known in his past he's gotten kicked off his server because of my ROM.
Mighty ROM 5.
Yeah, we'll remember that day forever.
We're going to have to ban you if you take PPC Geeks down again.
1,000 downloads.
I don't think PPC Geeks will be going down now after Mindfrost 82, our excellent tech admin, has done some recent modifications. So we don't have to worry about that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we really got to give it a shout out to him because he put a whole hell of a lot of work into the site in the last week, maybe even 2 weeks, and there were some serious issues that he had to sort out. As all of you guys probably seen with the site, it was up and down and sideways and left and right. And...
I agree, yeah. It was at least a month. I don't think 2 weeks. Try a month, because he's still working on it. He's working on the bugs. He's trying to kick it out, because if the site is optimizing it. Because we're peaking 2,000 users. We have a huge player base of people who are coming to the site and downloading and appreciating what we have here. So a big a great thanks to you, Mindfrost. You're really doing a great job there. So we do have to wrap this up. I have school tomorrow. Hibby has school tomorrow. We're little children in our little worlds, and we need to. So we're basically gonna roll it up. We've got a lot covered. We did a lot. We hope you enjoyed this show. I have to give out a big thanks to Mighty Mike and his Mighty ROM series for coming on the show, making sure that we have it more than just us nobodies on here. Except for Juggalo, he's not a nobody. He does ROMs. I hope he comes back and does ROMs. He actually did a TouchPro 2 ROM, and I don't know where
I got one out right now. It's just nothing special. You want me to talk about being an average ROM, then I can fill your ears with crap.
It's nothing average about being a ROM. If it was about being average, then I'd be making ROMs. Come on.
Well, we'll see what I have in store. I always throw my own spin on things. You guys know that.
Yep. So, yeah, we're waiting, man. We're waiting. Because, unfortunately, he has... Juggalo's got no Twitter, he's got no website, but you can catch him on the forums. He's Juggalo X, he's a mod, or he's one of those higher up mods. We have nice here Hibby, he's another mod, he's the Hibster, as we like to put it. We've got Morty T and I, we're just a bunch of newsies, we're just the news guys. We try to find news, we try to make it, great. Any last thoughts, guys, before we wrap it up?
No, let's call it a night.
All right, let's call it a night, guys. Okay, I just have to thank you very much for listening to our podcast. You're listening to the Pocket PC Geeks podcast, and we thank you very much. Have a great night, folks.